Hey everyone, it is Tom Panos and John McGrath with Million Dollar Agent. The days before the grand final, that nice pre-ARIC feeling, it's all happening. Johnny, how are you going?
Good, Tommy. And what a year. I've been waiting to see if ARIC will be on, and then it's on, and then all of a sudden Victoria gets locked down 5 minutes to midnight. But we're dealing with that, and I guess you might provide a little bit of a summary for everyone as to where we're at, because I know that you've just spoken with Nicola.
Yeah, so ARIC is on, and all our speakers are speaking at ARIC. There's one person from Melbourne that can't speak, Carla Fredda, but that has been sorted out as well. So the program's full. There's a lot of real estate agents that already left Melbourne and had gone to the Gold Coast. They take a few days beforehand as a break. The good news is it's a virtual event for those that can't be there. There's been a massive amount of people that were on the waiting list, John, that snapped up the free tickets that became available. When I say free tickets, not Metacritic free, but let's be clear. Don't turn around, ring up and say, where's my free ticket?
They'll be hitting the phones.
They freed up. And the good news is I got off the phone to a client now in Melbourne. He said, Tom, you know what? I can't go out and do opens this weekend. We're in this 7-day lockdown. There's no better feeling than actually sort of, you know, I'll chill out a bit. Sunday, Monday, I'm going to be watching ARIC.
But Tommy, that is gold. I hadn't even thought of that. And I'm not delighted that they can't get out. But what a great thing. People sitting there wondering, what can you do? And all of a sudden you've got 2 days of the best speakers on the planet. You can sit in your lounge room or your home office or in a banana chair if you like. That is gold. I love that. So, but the basic premise is for everyone else, ARIC is on just as usual with obviously the COVID safety measures all in place, so no need to feel uncomfortable. Unfortunately, some of our dear friends from Melbourne won't be able to make it, but it seems like most of the tickets have been taken up. I think there's still room for 100 or so people. So if you're listening to this podcast, it's Friday before ARIC, and you're keen to come, give the ARIC team a call, and it's more than likely that we're going to be able to get you in on Sunday or Monday. And I think they're also going to open it up to day passes because of the short notice. So those that can only get there Sunday, for example, and not Monday, can buy a ticket. And I think we're talking about predominantly Southeast Queensland, really, and a bit of Northern New South Wales, because it's probably hard on short notice to get there from other parts of Australia.
Oh, I've got, listen, you know, you'd be surprised, John. I spoke to Mark Sully, who you met the other day with the coffee, and Mark said to me, mate, great news. I've just heard that there's some tickets available because, you know, there's a group of people, John, that couldn't get in and they don't wait list. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some people say, I can't get in. That's it. I've written it off. When he found out he was, he's actually booked and he's coming. And as you've said, there's a lot of people that are doing the one-day pass. So pretty excited. The event's going on, and I'm looking forward to it. And today's podcast, John, actually might help people that are watching it virtually or also at the event or also people in general, because I've seen you, John. You are an avid myopic learner. I've seen you sort of sit there on the side of the stage, and the title of this podcast is How to Learn Better. How do you learn effectively, whether it's at a conference, whether it's on a podcast? I see that you take notes, you capture the information, and I'd love to sort of deep dive. How do you go from listening to some information and then making them part of your life?
Yeah, no, I think maybe just briefly at the end of that, Tommy, let's have a talk about, because you and I have been pretty voracious learners for a few decades now, who are some of the people that you think back on that have made the biggest difference, so we can share that. So, look, a couple of things. Number one is I make sure I get to a place, and that's both a physical place and a zone within my mind where I'm actually not going to be distracted by others. You know, some people, they go to these events and they end up making them almost quasi 2-day social event, which is kind of fine after hours, but I'm there between 8:30 and 4:30 to learn and get every nugget and every secret from every agent and every keynote speaker. So first thing, and I personally, not everyone can do it, I personally sit, as you know, just in a little spot by myself, back of stage, with my notepad, and I'm just, so first thing is I don't surround myself with people at events. They're going to be chatterboxes and going to want to go out and take long lunches and things, because so I'm very, very focused on it. Secondly is I take far more notes than I know I'll ever use. So what does that mean? Whenever I hear anything, a quote, a system, an outcome, a product, someone will say, I've just started using XYZ software, I just take notes and notes and notes, because I know I can always cull back, but I know I'm going to forget something if I don't write it down. So out of at an event like ARIC, I'll be likely to write 20 pages of notes over 2 days, handwrite them. I don't use a computer. I just find just handwriting them a bit easier, but some people will use computer. When I say computer, you know, Microsoft.
You're also known the day after ARIC to send an email to a few people that pretty much has got 50 to 75 bullet points of what you thought were the key learnings.
So this is it, Tommy. As I'm going along, and as I said, I'll take at least 20 pages at ARIC, and I do it at any event that's a couple of days. So I ask, when something like just hits me, like, you know, between the eyes, I asterisk it. So that for me is a quick and easy way to find. So I'll take a page of notes and it might have one or two asterisks on it. And the asterisks are things that absolutely must be done. These are life-changing, game-changing type pieces of advice. So then what I can quickly do at the end of the day, and then certainly at the end of the event, I can go back and just then collect all the asterisks. Then I go back through all the notes and I say, is there anything I've missed? Now, some people say, what about the other 20 pages? Because you boil 20 down to two. And I say, well, that's the most important two. And I probably won't even get all those two in. But if I get one of those two pages of notes into my system, into my life, into the business, it's going to be a great outcome. So I think, you know, along the way, you and I both are great believers in doing as much as we can real time. And people say, oh, well, I'm going to wait till the end. Then I'm going to go through all the notes. Well, the reality is at the end of the event, you and I and others jump on planes. We get back and the next morning we've got appointments at 7 a.m. So I like to do as many things in real time. So I'm asterisking the end of each day. I'm then transferring the asterisks onto a page. At the end of the event, I then get a highlighter pen and I highlight the asterisks that are the greatest game changers. So I might have 20 pages of notes, 2 pages of asterisks, and I might have 8 points that I highlight that I say, if I get these in play, these will change my life, change our business. These are the best ideas of the event. Then, as you say, I try and share with our own team and anyone else, people like yourself, people that are friends of our business and our families. And I'll say, just in case you're interested, here are the top 20 ideas I took away from ARIC. So I think that it's good to put yourself through that discipline. I'm also a great believer, as you are, in generosity and sharing. And I, you know, I send it to my other friends that are in real estate that don't work with us. I just like sharing my best ideas, or the best ideas that I got from ARIC. And the third thing is I then organize a meeting immediately afterwards with our key people, key influencers within the business, about what did you get from ARIC, and let me share what I got. So it forces others to do the same as me. And then at the end of that, I've ended up, my 2 pages have gone to 3. My 8 bullet points have gone to 12 because there was 4 things someone else picked up that I missed. I've shared it with, you know, 20, 30, 50 people plus, you know, 2,000 in our business. And it's a pretty good start. Does that capture every great thing? No. But I'll tell you what, it probably captures 80% of the most important things.
Yeah, and John, when you mentioned the word 80%, I think that 80% of winning is beginning, because I've learned that if I leave a conference and there's no next steps after the conference, the trying to implement a week later just becomes that little bit harder. It's this fluency of theory to context, what it means for me, to execution. And I feel like, you know, I've heard it sounds like a poetic rhyme, but 80% of winning is just beginning. But I think if you start, John, you basically begin a course of action. If you do, like, for instance, you turn around and say, hey, I need to start doing digital pre-list kits, right? The next thing you know is you make a call and start it. And then the next thing you know is you realize, hey, I need a video embedded in my pre-list kit. So you organize a video. So there's a course of actions that happen as a default of doing the first set of actions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes absolute sense. And you're right. I will often do that where if there's, you know, let's say there's someone I work with that couldn't come to ARIC, and I'm emailing saying, can you arrange a meeting with this supplier for the first week we're back, or the first few days I'm back? So part of the real-time stuff is actually not just capturing the information, asterisking it, highlighting it, then sharing it, but actually organizing. Because hearing a great software package, hearing what, you know, someone, Alex Phillips, stands up on stage and said, well, I changed this product and it's changed my life. Well, that doesn't change your life until you actually check it out, try it, get a free trial, get speak to the supplier, and then actually put in your business. So it's the execution of the idea where the value is. Ideas have no value at all. Those two pages of notes of mine, I could tear them up and burn them. No value unless I'm going to execute them and make them part of a system. So, yeah, I think it's there is an art to it. I'm sure there are people far better than me, but that's my process, and it's really worked well for a long time. And which kind of leads us to think about, you know, you asked me before, John, who are some of the people that have made a big difference in your life? And I'm going way back, Tommy, and you'll remember some of these names, others won't. Tom Hopkins, for me, changed my life in real estate. It was the early days, might even been before you, but I know you know who he is. And I went out to his events and I sat in the front and I listened to him speak. And then I went to the auditorium, to the retail section afterwards, and I bought every product he had. It was a cassette in those days. And then I went home and I listened to them and I took more notes. That changed my whole selling life and gave me the momentum I needed to get to where I was. So, you know, Tom Hopkins for me, and we're going back in the early 80s because I started real estate, I think it was 81, 82. And there was no ARIC. There was no Apple Music, Spotify. There was no podcasts. You had to work bloody hard to hear inspiring people and inspiring messages. Nowadays, of course, it's much easier. So I remember, you know, Tom Hopkins, and I even, Tommy, go back to, I think it's ARIC's 25th year or close to it this year. I even go back to the first ARIC. Bob Bolden and Bob Wolf, what I heard from them at that event was a massive part of my life changing. And we're going back 25 years, two speakers that just said something, and it wasn't just what they said, it was how they said it. It was the energy in the room, which is why I say to a lot of people, look, if you can't get there, buy a digital ticket. But I've got to tell you, if you get there, it has a profound impact when you're in the room with someone who's world best, that you're listening to them live. Say, it's a bit like, I guess, going to a live music concert as opposed to listening to a CD. There's something about being in the room while they're actually performing that music and saying those things that seems to have a profound impact. So, yeah, I mean, Tom Hopkins, Bob Wolf, Bob Bolan, they would be three of the top guys. And then, of course, Dr. Fred, who, you know, both you and I, he's a very dear friend of ours. And he would be probably the other person that I first heard, you know, at an event that changed my life. So there's four people.
So, John, in more modern times, I can say the one piece of advice that I found extremely useful, and it's practiced pretty much daily in my life and Susan's, was what Peter Fuda said. It was a one sentence. Play a game you're going to win. Set yourself up for success. You know, before that, John, I'd often feel guilty and I'd keep doing something that I didn't necessarily like, in fact, often hated, but I was thinking to myself, just grind it out. And for some reason, that sentence on the stage on that Monday where he says, play a game you're going to win, and I think you drew up a bullseye on a wall and on a chart and basically said, if you were throwing the dart from 50 metres away, it would be unlikely you'd get it, but if you threw the dart from a metre away, you most likely would get it. So set yourself up to actually win. And I can see that, John, in every area of, you know, what I do with work now, if it sort of fits that category of setting yourself up for success, I generally find that it's more effortless, it's actually lucrative, and it's fun, and you do more of it, you know?
Oh, Tommy, look, I remember that exact story because I've heard him tell it a few times, and I remember, you know, my memory, I'm not sure if it was ARIC or one of the other times I've heard him where he says, you know, most people call it real estate or otherwise, here on the other side of the stage with a dart in a foggy room with a blindfold on, throwing in the direction of the dartboard, hoping they're going to get a bullseye. He said, how many do? None. Whereas he said, in my world, you take the blindfold off, you clear the smoke, you walk up to the board and you actually gently place the dart in the bullseye without throwing it, you place it. And he said, that is designing a game you can win. So let's take that. So real estate agents say, great, sounds profound. How do I deal with that? Well, when you go into a listing presentation and you start telling them about your track record and what do you think, and I think we should be auctioning it and opening it next Saturday and we should get photography, and that's throwing it from the other side of the stage. If you actually say to them, Tom, you know, what I want to do is really get a great understanding of where you're sitting, where you want to get to, what are your current tendencies, and then let's discuss the options. And you ask them seven great questions, you are designing a game that you're going to win. You walk in and start just sprouting all sorts of ideas in some sort of a random, semi-random fashion. You're throwing it at the dartboard, hoping something's going to hit, and they're going to say, okay, well, that sounds pretty good. We haven't spoken to anyone, so we'll just go with you. That's the kind of one in 10. But you got to design the game you can win. So, I've just added that to my list. Fooder. He also talks about burning platform, right? That metaphor was phenomenal about,
explain that, John, again, for those that haven't heard it.
Yeah, so he said, he said, look, John, if I asked you to walk 20 meters along a painting plank or a plank that a painter would stand on to paint a wall for 20 meters, because I just wanted you to do it, would you do it? And I just had it like suspended off one brick at either end, so 6 inches off the ground. He said, would you do it? So it was good. He was asking me a question to engage me in the metaphor. And I said, yeah, I guess if you wanted me to do it, I would, no drama, no risk. And then he said, okay, what if I suspended it above two towers, 60 meters above the ground? It's still the same height, still the same width, but I've asked you, he said, would you do it? I said, no, no way in the world. That's crazy. I could die. Then he said, what if your loved ones, your partner, was at the other side of the plank and the building was on fire, and the only way that they could be saved is you walking across the plank 20 meters to get them? Would you do it? I said, yes, 100%. And he said, so there's the difference. The burning platform is you had a reason to move forward despite risk or fear, some level of risk or fear, because your why was all of a sudden huge. And he said, in real estate or in business or just in general life, you have to discover what is your burning platform for doing what you do, because prospecting, listing, dealing with rejection, all of those things have some level of discomfort. So you have to make sure that the win or the outcome or the purpose that you're doing it for is actually far greater than the discomfort, the inconvenience, and even the fear and risk. And I just, that's why you and I keep talking to people in the real estate gym, at ARIC, wherever we speak about, first discover your why. What is your purpose? What is the thing that's going to get you up every morning, prospecting, listing, dealing with rejection, moving forward with confidence, learning, growing, all of those things, moving at pace with great effort? You need to have something bigger than a new car or bigger than $50,000 in the bank. You need to have something that's going to get you ultimately to your maximum potential. So I just keep remembering both of those metaphors that you've raised, and they're just, that's gold. And I think if people can keep remembering those, design a game you can win. Even in your business, Tommy, design a game you can win. In your sales area, design a game you can win. Don't just throw the dart from 30 meters away, because you will get 100K GCI, no problem. If you turn up every day for a year, you'll probably get a few deals over the line. You want a 2X, 5X, 10X, you need to design a game you can win and have a burning platform to boot.
All right, Johnny, I look forward to seeing you on the Gold Coast in 2 days' time. Now, to everyone, I've just thought about it. As you were speaking right now, if I wasn't going to ARIC, I would think to myself, I've got my plan Sunday, Monday. Virtual ticket at ARIC, particularly if I'm in Victoria, I put the tracksuit on, I put the heater on, I take a notepad out, and in the comfort of my lounge room, I'm watching ARIC for the first time, by the way, everyone, first time virtually being streamed. That's your plan, aricconference.com.au, aricconference.com.au. Johnny, see you at ARIC.
Look forward to it, Tommy. Thanks for everything you've done. You've been amazing. Talk soon.
Pleasure. Bye.